Can you hear me now? Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's an extreme pleasure of mine to introduce a young lady that meant a lot to me when I first got sober because she really showed me how it works. We also, in those days, went a lot of the same meetings, and you know how that works. But she was a big influence on me. I remember the first time I was at a meeting, and she and the lady who, or the gentleman who later became her husband, walked in the meeting, and I think they were doing the newsletter then. I said, "Who in the heck are they?" And they told me, "Well, that's Daryl and Trish." And I said, "Well, you know, she seems like she's, you know, knows what the heck she's doing. How long has she been sober?" And I think they said 3 or 4 years. And I said, "Wow." You know, not only wow was 4 years a long time to be sober, but people that young, it just blew me away. Anyway, please help me welcome Trisha C.
I'm Trisha, an alcoholic. 10, 15, I don't know. Okay. Well, I am nervous tonight, which is a real surprise, you know, because I'm not always so nervous, but that's probably a good sign. I'll just be really honest, okay? I hope. Okay, honest. What's true? I'm really glad I know I'm an alcoholic today. That's the bottom line. I'm really glad I know that I'm an alcoholic today. I have a family of alcoholics. My grandfather was a really severe alcoholic, and he actually got sober for about 10 years in Orland, and he went back to drinking, and he shot himself. So that was one of my first experiences with alcoholics and what they do when they're done. My aunt, she actually took pills and drank and died, and her young daughter found her dead, and that's how that alcoholic dealt with it. And I had another aunt who also took pills and alcohol and killed herself. And this September, my father, who was a chronic alcoholic who never, ever wanted to be sober, died of chronic alcoholism. And I saw it on the death certificate, and I'll have to tell you, that did something to me, to actually see it on a death certificate. This is a deadly disease. And he never wanted to be sober, and he never tried to be sober. And he died of cirrhosis of the liver, and he never really had a happy day in his life. And he never really had pleasure of being with his children, and he never really had any sincerity in knowing another human being and peace. He didn't know any peace. And he died that way, and that was his choice. That it has been my experience with alcoholics. Finding out at a young age that I was an alcoholic really wasn't just, oh, guess what, I'm an alcoholic. For me, I started drinking because it made me feel like I could do so much. I could have courage. I could meet people. I could get to know people. I thought I was getting close to people. It made me so attractive to people. And maybe it did it in the very beginning. I'm not sure. Maybe it did. But in that time period, I was hopeful drinking. I was hopeful. I thought my blackouts were going to be wonderful. I thought I would drink to a blackout and wake up and be a famous actress. You know, wake up with some gorgeous man who just loved me all over the place. And I was a queen, you know. I thought I really, truly, hopeful drinking, I thought I was going to wake up and be in heaven. Because I knew I didn't know how to get there on my own. So I thought that drinking was going to get me there. And that hopeful drinking, which turned to Jekyll and Hyde drinking, progressed into where I was just Mr. Hyde. And I was very unhappy with the places that alcohol was actually taking me. I was not waking up with Prince Charming. I was not waking up famous for anything that someone would be proud to be famous of. I found myself so lonely and so desperate. And that drinking turned to hopeless drinking. Hopelessly drinking. Just to drink. Just to get there. Just to get to where I could get to my rage and I could take it out on the world. And I hated you all. I hated everyone. I didn't think I hated myself. I thought if the rest of the world just drank like me, the world would be a great place, you know. So I did fight. I was 98 pounds. Did a lot of fighting, bottle throwing at people's heads. I like to pick fights with great big guys in bars that I wasn't legal in. And I usually had someone come and break it up for me, which was really lucky when you think about it. That didn't lead to any good relationships. People didn't love me all over. And it didn't give me any peace. And it didn't give me a feeling like I was going to ever go anywhere in my life but down. The desperate drinking that I was doing and all the lonely feelings deep inside of me were so consuming that in the end of my drinking, I didn't care anymore about you or me, and the people that I once cared about didn't matter at all. And I found myself in Station 18 in Washoe Medical Center. For all of you who don't know, that's the nut ward. And I met there a psychiatrist who told me his story, and he was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I said, well, thank you for sharing. I think you really want to sleep with me, but I have to go back to school now in Chico. So I'm going to go home, but he left me with one piece of advice. He said, okay, try not drinking. Just try that. You're desperate. You're suicidal. You're not happy. You know, try not drinking. And at the age of 20, I said, okay, I'll give that a shot. Although I didn't believe that that was going to solve my problem one bit. But I did walk away from there, drive away from there, back to Chico, and I tried not to drink. And I went to a party, and they had a keg of beer. And, you know, I had one. But that's not drinking, right? You know, that was my thinking at that time, that that's not really drinking because, you know, I wasn't drunk, I wasn't blacked out, I wasn't dancing on tables, I wasn't running around naked, you know, I hadn't done anything. I wasn't really drinking. And that progressed so quickly into burning school books in blackouts and dancing around, you know. It progressed so quickly, and the thought of not drinking was not a part of my life. Drinking was my solution. But when he planted that in my mind, that there might be another way just to try not drinking, I went back to Station 18 and I started attending Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. And I read what they call the Blue Book, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is the program to me. I didn't believe all of you. I thought you were all sneaking out and drinking in your cups of coffee, right? Sure. And I did not believe that you were really just not drinking and smiling and laughing and having a good time because I hated you all anyway. And then to believe that what you were saying meant any, you know, it just didn't mean anything to me. But what meant something to me was that big book. And I read that big book, and to me, that is the program. And I looked at the ninth step and I said, aha, that's where I can change. And when I reach that step, I know that I will have changed in my life. And so I really put an honest effort forward to work the steps. And that's when I started becoming active in the program and getting a sponsor, and I joined everything. You know, I, right off the bat, was doing all the activities, all the dances, everything. I was painting signs. I was emptying ashtrays back then. And we would stand at the door as a newcomer, and we would shake everybody's hand and say, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, even if you were an old-timer. We went out to coffee as a group, and I didn't like you all, but I was there by God. I was there. And what I know today is those steps have changed me. They have changed the inside of me to where I can be a caring human being today. I can sit and listen to my son talk, and I can care what he is saying to me. I can hear the people who have pain inside them, but they're actually just raging, but they're so much in pain. I can hear them, and I can care about them today. And this is a big change for this alcoholic. I can really have compassion for another human being, and the promises are coming true for me today. I can say that I've had millions of things happen to me physically. My body has started to break down like I can't believe. I've had a lot of health problems over the years, and I can say that that's not a good reason for me to drink today. I've had a lot of people die in my life, and that's not a reason for me to drink today. I can say that it's a reason for me to stay sober and stay caring. It's a reason for me to be calm, the person that I never thought I wanted to be, the person that I never thought I could be, and the person that I really am. And it matters to me. And you matter to me. And that's a huge change. And I can say, you know, for my father who never had that in his life, that's the reason for me to stay sober now. That's the reason for me to stay sober. My dog died December 4th. My dog has been with me. She was 16 years old. And, you know, my father died in September, but this dog, she used to come to meetings with me. She rode in my truck, and she came with me, and she was probably the first thing in this world that I ever really loved with my whole heart. And she died, and I can say I can grieve over her. I can feel this compassion, and I can love her, and I can say, wow, she had a great life. We had a great sober life together. And I thank God for that dog. And she's still with me. And she's still with all of you, because she came to our meetings. And we now have two boys in our family, and all the wonderful things that you can have in your life. You know, I'm not a famous actress. I didn't get all the things I wanted in this life. I didn't get the big, grandiose life that I thought I deserved or that I thought I wanted. But what I've got is worth so much more than that. I'm an empathetic, caring human being. Right? I thank Alcoholics Anonymous for that, and I thank all of you for being here.